Take your Bible tonight and go to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews will be in chapter 11 again tonight. Been studying this book, and it's been a blessing to kind of have be able to stack a couple weeks up together and study it instead of having them stretched out by months at a time. Amen. Looking forward to Sunday, not just for the race, but we have a special speaker. Amen. You've never heard him preach before. Brother Brian McBride will be with us. Amen. Amen. And he's not new to us. He's been here before, and we're looking forward to that. One of the blessings this year is being able to have them for at least the first day of Restore-a-thon with us in the radio, but also have them all day Sunday. A lot of times we've had them for years on Anniversary Sunday, and they provided good Southern music from way up north and brought it down. Amen. Imported it from the good place. Amen. From a place where we could get it. You didn't think you had to bring it down there, and it's always been good. And there, but again, it's a blessing this year to be able to have them. And just because of the way it fell in February, to schedule them now and be able to have him preach not only in the evening but in the morning. So invite someone to come with you. It'll be good. It's going to be gooder and gooder. We're not just having good preaching and good singing, but we're going to have some good racing. And if they cook them right, they'll be good hot dogs. Amen. So stay and enjoy it with us. Hebrews chapter 11, we have been blessed, and we've gotten into the chapter here that is just focused on faith. But it is by faith in Almighty God and in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The book has been a book of betters, telling us about how Jesus is better than everything that's come before. And then it stacks up so many people who did great things by faith. And for us, we've got to come to the place, you know, the opposite of faith is fear. And we're going to see it tonight in the life of Moses, how people overcame fear because they just trusted God by faith. And it was not that they didn't have something that was challenging or something fearful. Kings that had made commandments, but they just trusted God. And we need to come to the place, you know, I mean, probably we could go back and for the government trying to get into the church and stop us from what we do and saying we don't have a lot of kings all the time doing those things that they did back in the day. But again, we've had people stand up and say, you can't have church. And that was a real thing in 2020. But again, by faith, we were going to continue. By faith, you know, we were thankful that others had faith and didn't put those restrictions on us. But there were other places where people don't have no faith. And they put all kinds of restrictions and all kinds of requirements on folks. And again, for us, you know, whether, you know, you come to the place, faith is just trusting God, taking Him at His word. All right? You can't please God unless you operate in a practice of faith. Faith is just doing what God asks you to do. It's simple obedience. Sometimes we miss it, and again, it's just believing that God can and stepping out forward on what He said or what He asked you to do. And so here in the chapter, again, we've come through so much in the early part of the chapter. Now we've gotten to verse 23, and we finished up with the patriarchs, and now we come to Moses. Moses, in verse 23, he says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. And then he goes on, and by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. I don't know if we'll get that far tonight, but I just want to say that by faith is attributed to Moses before Moses could make decisions for himself. It clearly teaches in the first verse that we read here, by faith, Moses. Did Moses make the decision to hide himself? No. Faith is something that, again, you cannot believe for your kids, but you can before they can. Most children, they have to believe in Christ when they come to an age of accountability. But before that time, Moses' parents had faith for him. When they could have had fear, like many other, if I could say it like this, Jewish mothers and fathers who made a tough decision to kill their babies because of the commandment of the king. And I want you to see what the Bible says about him here. And again, I want you to think about a liberal and how they would take this. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Now, there are people that would take that and construe that, all right, to the place where because he was a healthy kid, that's the only reason they didn't kill him. All right, now I just want you to understand that that's not what the scripture is saying here tonight. It's just coming to the place where they came to a place in their life and in their mind, and even for this, does that mean a proper child, he didn't cry a lot, so they thought they could probably hide him. The scripture is just coming to a place where, if I could just say it this way, proper, all right? Do you know what, when they saw him, they could tell clearly that he was their child. Proper child, he was a gift given to them by Almighty God. And no matter the king's commandment, he was their responsibility, not the king's. They realized that God's authority in their home outweighed the authority of the king. And by faith, they trusted God. And then, and folks, I'm just going to tell you, they trusted God for 3 months. Now, you may not think 3 months is a long time, but that's a full season. Now, we don't really know what they are in Florida, but just think about what it would be like if you were somewhere else. In a full season, time passes. And then they had to come to the place where they could no longer hide him. And they had to set him forth. They had to do something with him. And by the way, I'll just say this. We don't think about it all the time this way. Most of you don't think like they were casting their child aside. But when they took and built an ark for their son, they set him sail. Everyone else cast their child into the river. They made provision for him. You don't think when they wove that basket and they pitched it within and without, it was not bathed in prayer? It was not prepared with care that it would float and balance the body of the child that they put in? And that they set him forth by faith and trusted God. There are so many people in this life that, you know, we don't know what God's going to do, and we don't know how it's going to work out. But by faith, we have to go forward and do exactly what we believe God has for us to do. And it's hard. Did everybody understand it? No. Do you think that every other Israeli or Jewish person that was around the side of the banks of the river, they were like, that's cheating. That's not fulfilling the king's commandment in the way it was supposed to be done. Were they hadn't fulfilled the king's commandment before that time. We don't know how God spoke into the heart of Moses' mother and parents, but this is what they chose to do by faith. And they set him afloat. Now, God knew all the time what was going on, but sometimes when you do things by faith, they don't always get recorded in Scripture. And they ain't always popular with everyone around you. But you got to trust God by faith. And no matter what everybody else thinks, God is going to be the one who keeps the record. God's going to be the one that marks it down, whether it was faith or foolishness. And when you got God's word on it, you can trust by faith and do it exactly the way God says. They were not afraid. In verse 24, he says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, that means he's come to a place where he can make a decision for himself. Now, you may think that this is 40. I'm not sure that that's how old he was at this time. I think that when he could make a decision of who he was going to be named after, whose name he was taken, and what his inheritance would be. Folks, you know that when you get to the age of accountability, you got to decide for yourself where you're going to spend eternity. And you get to choose because of what Jesus did for you. If Jesus hadn't died, guess what? You don't got a choice. But he came and opened a way where there was no way and gave you a choice to choose him. To choose righteousness by faith. Even it comes down and it's going to say that esteeming the reproach of Christ. He didn't just choose it eternally. He chose it for the earthly life too. He said, serving God and being what God made me to be and what God's plan is for my life is better than the riches of this world. Sometimes we think spiritual thoughts in the sense of, I'm going to choose God for way down the road. God is the best choice for right now. Not just down the road. Listen, his eternal benefits are better than any other, but his now and now benefits in eternity will be worth the choice. He makes a choice. He's choosing rather, the scripture says. I want you to see what he says in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So they wanted to place on him something that was inappropriate. They wanted to put on him, listen, when he took on Pharaoh's daughter's name, he would have had to take on their religion. He would have had to take on their lifestyle. He would have had to take on their dress. He would have had to take on all that Egypt was and assume that as himself. And he said, I refuse all of that. You may think this is all about race. This isn't about race when it came down for Moses. He's not just choosing. He doesn't want to be an Egyptian. He would rather be a Jew. He was going to be a Jew no matter what. This is about adoption. And we miss that so many times in the scripture. And when he goes back, he refuses to because he doesn't want to be adopted into the family of Pharaoh and Ra and all the gods of Egypt. But he chooses Christ, esteeming his Messiah. He chose this day who he would serve. Now, many of us miss that, and we think this is just a choice so that he can go, and he doesn't want to be a part of all the things of Egypt. He's rebellious over those that raised him. No, he refuses. He makes a conscious choice. I don't believe Moses was a rebellious child. He was one who thought things through. He was somebody who weighed it all out in his mind, and when he looked at what the options were of identifying with Egypt and its religion, he said, that's all false. Don't forget who wrote the first five books of your Bible under the inspiration of God. Looking back and having read all the history and prepared himself for that day with all the knowledge of Egypt and the knowledge of his forefathers, he said, all that's a bunch of junk. God made the heavens and the earth. God is the one that spoke everything into existence. I'll not choose to be a part of that. I'm going to choose Christ. I'm esteeming his reproach. I want you to see how he says, choosing rather in verse 25 to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oftentimes, we make our choices not by faith, but by the circumstances of this life. If Moses had completely weighed his choice of how he would live or who he would be named after, whose family he would be a part of, he would have clearly chosen it with earthly eyes and with an earthly bank account. He would have chosen Egypt every time. Because they had everything. They were in power. By the way, Joseph is the one that really brought them into that. God is the one that allowed them. Because of how they blessed God's people, God blessed Egypt during that time period. Richest nation on the earth at that time period. The people of Egypt themselves, many were slaves. They had sold themselves for the corn that Joseph had laid up. Not just the land was owned by the Pharaoh, but the people themselves. Coming to a place now where he's like, okay, I can choose to stand with God's people, but choosing that makes me a slave in this world. I think we got to understand that. That is, if we looked at it with human eyes, that was his choice. And the scripture even tells us and describes it in a way that he choosing rather to suffer affliction on this side of heaven. To know that the choice I'm making is going to be troubled and tough. It's not going to be a life of ease on this side of heaven. But I'm going to choose affliction to be a part of God's people. Then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And I think for all of us, sometimes, I don't know if you read like I do and think like I do, but there are two seasons mentioned quickly in the passage. And one is where his parents had faith and hid him for a full season. And now he makes a choice, realizing that the choice for Egypt would only have been for a short season of eternity. He would only have had pleasures on this side of heaven, and he would have paid for it for the rest of his life. And he chooses rather to suffer affliction. Listen, you young people, God's people, don't ever forget that sin does have pleasure. And you can enjoy it, but it's only for a season. It will come to an end, and the paycheck will cost you more than you ever want to pay. It'll take you longer to get rid of it, to get it out of your heart, your mind, and your life than it ever took for you to get into. It will not only destroy you, but if you stay there, it'll destroy those around you. And yes, the scripture is always right. Do you know there are people in this world that try to sell our children in an independent fundamental Baptist church that there's no fun in sin? When the scripture teaches absolutely different than that, then you can go enjoy it, but there'll come an end to that. It will come. Listen, it will end in the hog pen. And when you come to yourself, wouldn't it be better if, just like Moses, when you come of age, that you look down with good eyes and realize that what it's going to cost me, I don't want to pay. And I choose the suffering and the afflictions of walking godly and holy in this present world. I've told you over and over again, this world hated Jesus. And if you're going to walk and act like him, you will suffer persecution. You know who doesn't suffer persecution for a season? Those that are having a big time and enjoying the pleasures of this sinful world. But then when it all comes crashing down, you'll find, just like the prodigal son, where all my friends go? When your money dries up. When the pleasures of this world dry up. Hey, you think I'm preaching it? Listen, I know every one of you that have lived it, but you young people ought to turn your ears on, because I could save you a lot of heartache if you'd listen. Because some of you have been in the hog pen, and you'll go back if you don't listen. Instead of making a choice to turn away, choosing God over the sin, you'll keep going back there and back there and back there. And instead of having a life and being bought with a price and knowing who your owner is, you'll keep selling yourself back into sin over and over again. And one day, you won't even want to leave, because it'll own you. You will have been sold out the wrong way. Now, you say, preacher, that don't happen. It happens every day of this world. Every time, the world turns. That's a soap opera, but people live that. As the world turns, people sell themselves into sin, looking to enjoy the pleasures of this world. And they can for a season. Listen, can I tell you that you don't want that season to end, but it will come to an end. And you'll find out when they kick you off the bus that they drop you off in a place that you ain't never been before. And the only people that'll stop by and pick you up are people who love you. And usually they're people from your church, or mom and daddy. And if you're lucky, you're like the prodigal. You still got two good legs to walk yourself home. Because not everybody ends up that way in the end of the season is over. He goes on and he says here, they made a choice. His choice is really one of long-term reward. Instead of a short season of reward, it's a long-term reward. It's one that instead of getting his reward immediately, he's going to stand before the righteous judge one day and receive reward for the deeds done in the body and hearing, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He comes to the place, he says, esteeming the reproach of Christ two times, the afflictions tied to God's people and esteeming the reproach of Christ. Can I just tell you that we live in a day and age, and you may think it's popular to be a Christian, but just live like one and find out. It's popular to say you're a Christian and go along with everything else. But if you actually name Christ and live godly in this present world, you will suffer reproach. He says, greater riches. He says, but he realized, he measured it out in his mind. He made a good decision, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than that of the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect. Now, I don't know, you young people, underline the word respect. That word respect could fit fear of the Lord in right there. A right reverence of Almighty God. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Going back earlier in the chapter, put that verse in balance, and why is he by faith doing these things? But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Moses made a choice to diligently seek after God. And when you choose to go after God, God will show up. Moses doesn't do everything right. He's like the rest of us. He doesn't know everything, but he makes good choice to step out. Sometimes, again, a just man gets knocked down seven times and he gets up again, all right? Moses immediately makes a good decision and then he falls flat on his face and goes out and tries to do it himself in his own power and kills an Egyptian. He flees. But God's not done with him yet. He comes to a place where what? He's walking around. I would imagine if he's like me, when you and just sheep are around, you don't talk to the sheep, right? You talk to God or you talk to yourself. And in the midst of talking to himself, a bush started talking to him. And he realized when he looked over, the talking bush was a burning bush. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. I'm curious. Are you curious? Now, I'm not a pyromaniac, but if a bush is burning, I do want to see why it didn't burn up. And he turns aside. And listen, and we know most of the story. Most of us here realize that God begins to speak to him and call him to serve him. Taught him to be able to go out and lead sheep so he could go into Egypt and lead some more sheep. Got some years of purpose out there leading and being a leader and then going into Egypt. And God, again, used him as a great leader. I want you to just see, he goes on and he says here, respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, Moses didn't receive a lot of reward on earth. In fact, he didn't even get to see the earthly reward that he really was looking for, and most Jews look for, and that is the promised land. Many of you don't get this, but again, if you understand the life of Moses, he did something. When God told him to speak to the rock, he hit the rock again. And in disobedience, God judged that. But God let him look at it. God took him up high on a mountain and let him peer over into what it was, what the people were going to go into. And I just think sometimes, you know, sometimes there have been people that have served God for all of the years, and listen, they're just looking into what God, listen, what God's done with the church. You think about people in the early days and the apostles and all that laid a foundation after the foundation was laid in Jesus Christ, and they continue to build and continue to build, and we continue to build all the way to this day. And God's letting them peer over the banister of heaven and see what God is doing with his church. And waiting for the day that the church collectively is caught out of this place together with Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the payday, friend. That's the reward. And again, for all of them, those that have looked and spent their whole life long in it, listen, Moses was trying to get them there. His whole life, he was looking forward to it. And even when Moses dies and God buries him in a secret place, you're going to see Joseph come on the scene. Joshua come on the scene, and God is going to use Joshua in a way not only to do what Joshua was supposed to do, but he says clearly in the book to finish what he had commanded Moses to do too. They just continued to hold the line and keep pressing and doing what God wanted them to do. And he comes to the place here in the scripture where he says in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Faith is something that should become sight for us. He couldn't see the invisible things, but even faith in its definition is now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He believed God and didn't fear the king, but believes seeing the invisible things of God and believing on them and moving forward. You say, well, if there was anybody that saw some things that God could do, but not the God of that himself, listen, that burning bush was a physical representation of God in front of him, but he didn't see God. If anybody got to get close to God, Moses got to get close to God. He got so close to him that his face shone with the glory of God. They made him cover his face up because it was so bright in God's presence and saw his hand taken with that finger right on tablets of stone. I don't know about you, but I envy Moses and how close he got to be with God, but then I see some of the things the people put him through and I don't envy him at all. I'm just telling you, think about what God called him to do, the blessings of what he got to do, and he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all that were in Egypt. We often talk about there is no way I would trade this life that I live in Jesus Christ for any other. Listen, folks, I'm just telling you, there's no other life I want to live but the one that God called me to, the one that God put me in. And oftentimes, we're always looking for some easier way or some other thing instead of just realizing, hey, listen, the happiest person is in the midst of God's will, pulling with God's church in the right direction, doing exactly what God has asked you to do until Jesus either moves you or calls you home. He comes to this place where he says, and this is really good in verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. And I'm not sure if I'll finish this, and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, I want you to see this. He kept the Passover, and one of the blessings of God is he tries to keep things simple for us. You know, the Passover, it just kind of kept its name because they passed over everything. And they kept, it didn't explain every year, but again, the death angel didn't pass over the Jews every year to kill the firstborn of every one, but they remembered back when God used that to deliver them from Egypt. And God wanted to have a covering for their sin. And what was threatened from then on out was not a covering for the firstborn, but for the family, as they took the lamb to be slain, and they... Again, the sins of the year were put on that lamb that was going to be slain. That pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. And we sometimes miss out how simple it was, but I mean, that day it was just, hey, he's like, hey, there's going to be an angel that passes over. And if you don't take blood and put it on the doorpost, it's not going to pass. He's not going to pass over. He's going to visit your home, and he's not killing everybody inside, but he's going to take the firstborn. Now, why the firstborn? Oh, because that's going to hurt Pharaoh the most. No, because it best pictured what God was going to give. Amen. He wasn't just the firstborn. He's the only begotten of the Father. Amen. The best God could do in an earthly family was take the oldest, who had all the inheritance. to all things would be from the Father put under his feet. And the Passover, the blood, it didn't have any power. It just was a sign and a picture of what was to come in the only begotten Son of Jesus Christ, whose blood was poured out for you and I. To pay our sin debt, to justify us before God, to justify us so we could look just as if we never sinned. Reconciled unto God. And one day, redeemed into his presence as we're called out, raptured out of this place with Jesus Christ. Tonight, listen, just like the folks that stood out there that night, killed a precious lamb, and painted the doorpost to make sure that they could protect their family in obedience to God. Today, God has already sent the Passover lamb, and it is Jesus. He died on Calvary and paid our sin debt, made a way when there was no way. He is the door. You ever think that why he painted the doorpost? He opened a way where there was no way. We think it was something to cover to look down on. When he saw the blood, that's when he passed by. It wasn't the shape of it, but what it did make, it outlined the door that would come, that would open a way from this earthly existence for sinful man to cleanse and redeem him and open a way to heaven that you could not go. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the door. Folks, I'm just telling you, if you've never stepped through that door, you've never put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and tonight it is his blood that paid for the sins of the world. And if you've never trusted in his finished work, his death, burial, and resurrection, you need to put your faith in Jesus' blood tonight, that it is able to forgive all sin, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to make you no longer Egypt, the world's family, but put you in God's family. It's the great, listen, it is a choice marked down in the hall of faith that Moses made, and it is a great choice to make even today, to not choose this world to be your family and your home, but choose the reproach of Christ and choose him as your Savior and identify or become born again into the family of God. Tonight, we're going to give you opportunity to do that. But as a Christian, maybe you're a Christian, you've been dabbling in sin, thinking you get away with it. Good luck with that. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you ain't getting away with it. You may not even get a full season out of it before God comes back and snatches you back and brings you, reins you in, and calls you back to where you can be, again, you can repent and be restored. That's what we want for you tonight. We think of everybody, we think of all sin as, oh, it's so wicked and we got to cast it out. No. If sin was cast out, there wouldn't be anybody in here tonight. Sin is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It is only by the mercies of God that we are not consumed. We have got to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and once we are redeemed, what a blessing to receive the Spirit of God that helps us, guides us, directs us, comforts us in this present world. I don't know where you are today, but listen, sin will grieve the Spirit of God. It'll keep you from feeling all the blessings that you could have in Jesus Christ. So tonight, if it's sin, repent of it. Get away from it. Give it to God. Get it right. Be restored. If it's not, maybe you just need to be redeemed. You've never been saved. You've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a Christian and say, preacher, I'm not in deep sin, but I know this. I'm a parent, and I need to trust God by faith to raise my kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to just follow him. I'm glad that God never asked me to put my kid in a boat and push him down the river and to trust him by faith. God has allowed me to raise him in my home and to keep him in church. We don't often think about that, but this place, the Church of the Living God, is a place that God gave us to raise our kids, to kind of help us shelter us from the things of this world and to grow together, to be encouraged and complete the Great Commission together. lesson tonight. Do what God's asking you to do. If you need to be born again, be born again. If you need to be baptized, get baptized. If you're a part of the church and you need to come and talk to God and lay some sin down and not pick it up again, do what God's asked you to do. We're going to have invitation tonight. Would you stand to your feet, bow your head? The musicians are going to come, but if you're here tonight and you need to be saved, I will meet you right here in the front and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here tonight and you want to be baptized and you've been saved, but you want to join this church through baptism, meet us down here in the front. If you're a Christian and you have other needs tonight, step out and come and do business with God. Brother Bert's going to come and sing after I pray. Dear God, I pray that you be in the invitation. God, help every Christian to do exactly what you've asked them to do, to apply the message in just the way you want them to have it. God, I pray for those that need to come tonight and either be baptized or be saved, born again into God's family. I pray that they would do and be obedient to your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.